Okay, the morphology of the subjunctive mood. A new connecting vowel pattern. This is the characteristic sign. Like virtually all Greek verbs. By the way, you could also call this the Swedish mood, the subjunctive, right? A little humor there. I guess you don't have to laugh at my jokes because I won't be grading your qualifier. The subjunctive mood is made up of a stem and a connecting vowel and the endings. Now, the good news is there are no new stems. Some of you at least think that's good news. Even better, there are no new endings. What did they serve after chapel today? Was it like, okay. In fact, now note this is helpful. Because the subjunctive is generally about uncertainty, futurity in different kinds of ways, the secondary endings are never used. Subjunctive verbs use only the primary endings. That's you can go to the bank on that one. Now, yeah. Now if it's a deponent verb, okay, then it'll still be the same. Right? You'll just use the primary middle passive endings. Right? So subjunctive verbs use primary endings, either active or middle passive. Now, what is new is a quite distinct pattern of connecting vowels, or thematic vowels, as some grammars call them. And this is the key to spotting and parsing the subjunctive mood, the connecting vowel pattern. So, and I'll have to explain this. The basic pattern is a kind of a long Oz pattern. Now, Vels probably didn't teach you this, but when I teach Greek and you learn the basic connecting vowel pattern for the indicative, it's O-E-E, O-E-O. So it's O-E-E, O-E-O, O-E-E. And you had to have grown up watching Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, right? Okay. Well, check it out. It's not omicron, epsilon, epsilon. It's omega, eta, eta. It's the same pattern, just the corresponding long vowel. Okay, so in the first person, you can see not omicron, but omega, second singular, third singular. So O-E-E, O-E-O, except the long corresponding vowel. And that is, in a nutshell, that is the key to identifying a subjunctive mood verb. Is you spot the long connecting vowel, you already know the stem because you know your vocab, right? I'm speaking now in a perfect sort of world, right? And yeah, right. You might know. That's right. Would that I knew. That's right. Yeah, good. That's good. But the way to, you know, morphologically, the identifying pattern for the subjunctive verb is precisely that long connecting vowel pattern. Okay, and it's in a sense it's quite that simple. So, are you ready to see some verbs?
Yeah, sure, Professor Gibbs. Let's look at some verbs.
Okay, next page on the handout. Now, it is true that a few of the forms look like indicatives. That's because, for instance, take a look at this first-person singular form of lapo, or lipo. That looks, it is exactly the same as the present indicative active. And that's because of that dropping the elision of consonants and the contraction of vowels and stuff. But you don't actually have to worry about that because the context is going to make it perfectly clear whether or not it's an indicative mood, present stem indicative, or present stem subjunctive. Again, we don't know how to translate these yet. We're just doing morphology. Okay? But as you can see, I put the stems in blue and the thematic vowel or the connecting vowel in black and the endings in red, or pretty much kind of like that. There may be a few glitches here. So here we have the present subjunctive for lipo, active voice, middle passive. In the present stem, they're the same. And we also have the aorist subjunctive for lipo, active, middle, and passive, which aorist passive, as you know, comes from the sixth principal part stem. Now notice that I'm only giving you present subjunctive and aorist subjunctive. That's because there is no future subjunctive, because the future indicative is already about futurity. And the perfect subjunctive is extremely rare, so rare that you don't have to worry about it. So really, with regard to the subjunctive mood, all you need to worry about are present subjunctives and aorist subjunctives. And there you'll tell the difference by the stem. Remember, you know, to parse verbs, you've learned to, at least at one point or another, zero in on the stem, right? And hopefully you can see that here. Let's take a look. Here's lapo. This is a present subjunctive active, first singular. Here's lipo. This is an aorist subjunctive active, first singular. The only difference is the stem. Lape is the present stem of the verb. Lip is the aorist stem. Notice there's no augment, because this is not an aorist indicative. Only past time indicatives have an augment. I'm going to say that again. You already know this because aorist participles don't have an augment, right? Aorist infinitives don't have an augment, right? See, just even if you can't remember, say yes. Go ahead, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. That was great. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, sure. You betcha. So aorist subjunctives have no augment because they're not past time indicatives. See? The subjunctive, the differences between the two then would be just about the stem, whether it's simple focus on action or focus on connection. That's the difference. Yeah. Wendell?
Is it accurate to say then that the subjunctive mood doesn't have any time associated with it? It's like an infinitive?
Well, that's pretty close, except that they do tend to be about stuff that's in the future. Okay, and you'll see that as we get into some of the contexts in which they're used.
It's
not about time at all. It's on the focus on action as opposed to focus on connection. Now take a look at the endings. See, you know these endings, right? There's the contracted O. Oh, now that's pretty recognizable. By the way, it's clearer on your handout. There's an iota subscript in there. Everybody see that on the handout?
Mm-hmm.
See, the for some reason, the you know, doesn't show up as clearly on the overhead here. Yeah, it could be word perfect. Yeah, it could be. This could be. That's right. I was going to say something about Bill Gates. But take a look at these forms. See, now look at, check this out. Lape. Now, if it were an indicative, it would be an omicron, right? Lape amen. Now, that form, you know, you see that it's like, danger, danger, danger. Subjunctive alert, Will Robinson, you know? I mean, it's many times these forms are completely recognizable if you can just kind of keep your morphological wits about you and say, long connecting vowel, it must be a subjunctive. And then you get the paper bag out, you know. And then you say, oh, it's a present stem. Oh, it's men. I know it. May the saints be praised. See? So you just put the pieces together. Stem, connecting vowel, ending. Right? It's just like other verbs. Right? So here's the present subjunctive, and look, here's our friends, my, a. Now, that's an ambiguous form. That could be either indicative or subjunctive, but again, the context will help you. But now, see here, lape, a, tie. See, there's a, that would be an epsilon if it's indicative. It would be lape, a, tie. But it's lape, a, tie. Oh, subjunctive. I'm feeling so subjunctive today, dear, right? Now we have lapometha, lapestha, and lapontai. Okay? And check it out. I mean, it's exactly the same. The endings, connecting vowels, just a different stem in the aorist. So lipo, lipes, lipe, lipomen, lipeta, liposin. Again, the characteristic morphological sign of subjunctive mood verbs is the long connecting vowel. And so then you spot the stem because, yes, you do know your vocab, right, and your principal part. And you know the endings are. Remember that subjunctives only use primary endings, whether they're active or middle passive. Now, look over here at the aorist passive. This, too, follows all the rules. You might remember, since you're getting hungry and the blood isn't being sucked out of your brain, that the sixth principal part of lapo is elephthane. That sound vaguely familiar? Say, yes, Professor Gibbs. Yeah. Okay. So the stem is lapeth, right? And you've got some, these act like contract verbs. That's why you have the circumflex. You don't want to know why, but note that there is a circumflex. And they act like contract verbs. As I said here, aorist subjunctive passive forms act like epsilon contract forms. This kind of explains it here. If you want to really look at it, you can check it out down here, which is why I gived it to you. If I were meaner, I would not have given it to you. That was a subjunctive thing. But see, again, same ending. See, it's looking very familiar. And again, aorist passive forms use active endings, which we've learned before. Here, you don't have son here, though. Wendell, remember you were spotting the son on aorist passive indicative? But on the aorist subjunctive passive, it just looks pretty much like an active verb, except it's a different stem. So lip, laif, ho, aorist passive stem. Okay. So the basic morphology of the subjunctive mood is, in a sense, I hesitate to say that's simple, because even on a good day, I know you're hanging on for dear life. But all right, now let's do a little morphology cleanup here. This is just, I like Veltz's nooglies, you know. So what we've got here is some, of course, irregular verbs. What else is new? We've got our friend Aime. I'm in the way here, aren't I? Oh, well, I'll stand back over here. This is just to say to you, oh, you were wondering what the present subjunctive of Aime is? I'm glad you asked. Here it is. It's in the book, okay, and it's on the handout. It's O-A-S-A, omen. Now, that you might be able to spot. See? Maybe. Eta, osin. Well, no, you can't spot. It's just irregular. Those are the present subjunctive active forms of Aime. Now, there are no aorist subjunctive forms of Aime because there's no aorist. There's no third principal part of Aime. It's just Aime, esomai. That's it. See? But so that's all the forms of our friendly friend, the linking verb, Aime, I am. Those are all the subjunctive forms there are. You just have active voice. No, you can't have the passive voice of the linking verb, for crying out loud. So that's it. That's it. That's all the subjunctive forms of Aime that exist. And then we've had our old verb friends, bino, which, as Dr. Veltz said, it always occurs in compound forms like anabino or katabino or epibino. Gnosko, by the way, routinely occurs also in compound forms like epigenosko, things like that. But here are the aorist subjunctive forms of these verbs. And do you remember, by the way, that on these irregular principal parts, Veltz said they only occur in the active voice. Okay? So you won't get any aorist middle forms with bino. You'll have to use another verb. Okay? Like peripateo or some other walk around kind of verb, you know? So these, I'm just kind of showing them to you. It's kind of fun to say, bo. Bo. That's the aorist subjunctive active first person singular of bino. Bo base bay, bomen, beta, bose. Those are the aorist subjunctive active forms of bino. And gnosko is even more fun. Gno, gnos, gno, and the iota subscript, again, is clearer on your handout, I think. And it's there because of the historical development of the Greek language. Gnomen, gnota, gnosin. Okay? Please, Eric.
Oh, wait. And it's just, are these the words or are these the endings right here?
Those are the whole forms. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the whole thing. No, that's the whole deal. Right. What? Bindbow, yeah, right. Yeah. No, that's it. They're quite short. Okay? So just so that you've seen them. Right? So Aime and Gnosko. But again, at least in some of the forms, you can see quite clearly the long connecting vowel, right? Right? See? Especially in the plural forms. Here, you got all that contraction going on. By the way, notice the circumflexes on all these forms. And that has to do with no connecting vowel.
So it's all three, you can know, nomen. They're all three O.
Yes. Say again, a little louder, Mark.
I was just processing, it's always been O-A-O, connecting vowels.
Right.
Except for
Gnosko. Yeah, Gnosko is different, that's right. It uses an O sound throughout, right. That's right. Like the aorist indicative that you just encountered yesterday, so you don't remember it yet, is egnon, egnos, egno. Right, yeah. And that's just characteristic of that one verb. Right. So that's morphology. Okay, that's how you spell it. Right? And again, the characteristic sign of a stem and the long connecting vowel. And then the primary endings that you already know. There are no new endings for the subjunctive.